Don't ask my neighbor. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Don't ask my neighbor. During your times of weakness, your times when you feel like you have no power to do anything, what is it that you turn to during those times? Who is it that you turn to during those times? When you are at your weakest point, who and what you turn to says a lot about what you feel on the inside. What it says about you is when you're going through something, you attach to that which you feel the most comfortable or the most or safest with. So in the midst of going through something, I want you to think about and take notice to what you do. The moment that something happens, who do you call? What do you do? Because that says to the world what is really going on inside of you. Sometimes we have the tendency of picking up the phone and we'll call a family member, only to discover that sometimes the family member that you call has been waiting for you to fall because they were jealous of you all along. Sometimes when you begin to go through something, we have a tendency of calling what we think is our best friend.
Yep.
And sometimes that person really has a heart to be your best friend, but where God is taking you, they can't go, have never experienced, have never seen, and they have no idea what to say to you.
Say it.
And if you're not careful, you'll think that something is wrong with the relationship because they're not being supportive. But when God get ready to push you into the inner court, there's not a lot of people that is in the inner court that can talk to you. Because most people in the church are surface people. That is, we come to church, but all we want to do is just come. We really don't want church to participate in us. We want to participate in church. That is, we want to clap, we want to sing, and we want to say what we need to say, but we really are afraid to open up and say, God, have your way with me. When you open your heart and say, God, have your way with me, what God will always manifest is the God inside of you. If the God that is inside of you, the person or the thing that you turn to when hard times come, whatever that is, God will always manifest or ID that person.
All right.
God is a jealous God. You ever been hanging out with some folk and they got mad and they did something and you say, I didn't know you were like that. That's because what they've been hiding from you is the real person. I believe this. I believe that you really cannot enter a friendship or a relationship with a person until you first see that person angry. Until you see that person angry, you don't know who you're dealing with.
All right. Amen.
Anybody can fake anything when the sun is shining.
Amen.
You want to see who I really am? How much I really want? Let me get upset. And I can act a fool. And then you look and say, I didn't know he had all that in me. It's because on the good days, I can hide some stuff. Now, when I say hide, and I'm really talking about all of us now. So don't get too comfortable and say, well, he's just talking about him. No, I'm talking about you too.
Amen.
God begins to manifest what's on the inside. When God begins to manifest what is on the inside, what is on the inside is there because that's what we called it. That's our situation. When you begin to go through something, What you call your situation determines what you manifest, what comes out of you. So if you're going through something and you call it trouble, you're going to meet trouble with trouble. If you call it an opportunity to be blessed, you will meet it right there. Now, I want to take you back to the book of Genesis, and that is, I want to take you back to what God initially told Adam. One of the first commandments that Adam had from God, God told him to name the animals. What you call it is what it becomes. What happens to you in life is not as important as what you call it. You can be going through hell and high water, but you call it an opportunity or a setup for a blessing. It doesn't look like hell and high water. It looks like God is moving in my life. And so if it looks like God is moving in my life, then I line up because I'm expecting a blessing on the other side. And so what God is trying to get us to do is to line our lives up with His Word. Because when all else fails, His Word still stands. And so what God wants us to do is to trust His Word, not the world.
Amen.
The world will send you north fast with no outlets. But God sometimes will take His Word, and His Word will tell you to go through the storm, and you'll wonder if God even knows who you are. You know, sometimes you're going through something, and it seems like God has more trust in you than you have in yourself. Let me help you with something. You ever been going through something and God told you to do something and He gave you the blessed assurance that He'll be right there for you, and you stop and you say, God must don't know me because I'll run in a minute. He must don't know what I did yesterday. Talking about I'm blessed and holy and highly favored. He must not know me. But you know, God does know you. And God died on the cross not because of what you think you are, but because what He know you to be. What He looks at when He see you, it's not an outer thing. He looks at your heart. And sometimes your body will not line up with your heart because your body is a little bit stubborn and it is often the last to come. Sometimes your faith is walking somewhere and your body is questioning, baby, do you know where we're going? No, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm not concerned about what I see. I'm concerned about who said it.
Thank you, Lord.
This man tonight that we deal with, he is us. Just as crazy as he want to be.
All right.
I'm telling you, he is so us that it is just ridiculous. Now, John begins chapter number 5, and he begins to talk about a feast that was going on. And Jesus came to a feast. Now, in biblical days, a feast represented people coming together. And they come together and they commune. That means they come together and they establish or reestablish or strengthen a relationship. And whatever is wrong, they fix it. You remember when you were a little child and every Sunday you used to sit down at mama or grandma's dinner table? You remember that? At the time, you thought that was stupid because you wanted to go out and play. And now when you think back at it, that's what held the family together. Not education, not income, but the fact that we sit down and we broke bread together. So if there's any issues going on in the family, Grandma, Big Ma always had a way of giving you a parable. She wouldn't tell Deacon Ray what he did yesterday. She just speak in a parable. And Deacon Ray knew she was talking about him. See, that's the mother wit or the wisdom that we're missing today. Is that the feast that God is talking about in John is really the same thing that we come into union together with God. This Sunday you just had communion. Communion was with God. Once you're in union with God, then whatever God desire, you desire too. And so there was a feast, and this feast was at, and it's a place that they call it Bethesda. Now, Bethesda is this place where they had sheep goats. Or it was really sheep gates, should I say. A gate in the Bible represents an opportunity. A gate, a door, represents opportunity. It represents God is opening something up for you. You got it?
Yeah.
Now, in this particular sheep gate, and notice that what he calls it is sheep gate. When you become a child of God, God refers to you not as his creation, not as his holy being, but he refers to you as the sheep. The problem with the sheep is that they are dumb, directionless, and defenseless. Dumb because a sheep does not think. Whatever the sheep master does, they just follow. Just as dumb as they want to be. Just as directionless as they want to be. If one sheep go this way, all sheep go this way.
That's right.
If the sheep master go this way, they all just follow them. If one falls off the cliff, they all fall off the cliff because they're directionless. You got it? And they're defenseless. And that is, the sheep cannot fight for themselves.
Right.
There are some sheep, I can't remember the name of it, but this particular sheep, when fear comes upon it, it paralyzes it. It just falls over. Can't help himself whatsoever. And that's what God calls you, a sheep. It's like, come on, God, you could call me a lion or a bear or a tiger. You could call me a rooster. You something, you know? But what he is getting us to see is that I want total submission from you.
Amen.
Where you are so dumb, you don't think outside of my will. Where you are so defenseless that you know that I got a hedge of protection around you and you don't have to do it for yourself.
Amen.
And whatever direction you need to travel in, what we understand about God is that God will take us there. He will point us there. Now this sheep gate, the Bible says that it had five porches. The number five in the Bible represents grace. Now, Jesus is setting this dude up in that it sounds like he's just talking about stuff that has nothing to do with this sickness. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you were telling them about a problem and they start talking about the weather and you say, I'm not concerned about that. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I need to borrow $50 and my light's going to be turned off and you talking about some blessing that somebody else, I don't want to hear that. Do you hear my problem? So here's Jesus just working them in and just setting them up. And so this number five represents grace. In other words, what God is, or Jesus is saying to them is that I'm going to grace you into an area in which you could get to by yourself. And so even though it sounds like small talk, I got to relax you to get you to follow me. See, sometimes the reason that people won't follow us to church is because they're afraid of us. And so sometimes you got to talk about football in order to get them to the altar. Sometimes you got to talk about something other than the word of God to get me to church. It doesn't mean you selling out. It means you setting me up to get a blessing.
Amen.
And so he starts talking about these five porches. And then he then goes to this man and then he begins to talk about him. And he described the man first as being a person that is impotent. Now a person that is impotent means that this person is weak, but he does have a foundation. He does have structure. Something is there for me to work with. Where God will always begin with you is with something that you have in your hand. We look for God to bless us through somebody else or through something. And God is saying, no, baby, open your hand. I'm going to deal with what you already have. And when I begin to deal with that, you'll understand that without me, that wasn't enough. But when I touched it, when I anointed it, when I gave it superpower and it touched your little natural self, the supernatural came together and I graced you in the midst of your weakness.
Hallelujah.
Now, I love the fact that he deals with impotent and he talks about a weakness. Now, weakness means that, as I say, it's something there. The Bible declares that if you have the faith of a grain
of
a mustard seed.
Amen.
Now, the mustard seed, very small seed, but the mustard plant starts off small, but it grows to be one of the biggest plants. Not only does it grow to be the biggest plant, but it is then able to support other things that rest on it. Somebody is resting on your faith. Somebody is looking at you, looking at how you're going through something, and they may not open the Word of God, but they got your chapter open up. Because they want to see how you going to deal with this thing. And how you deal with this thing, based off what you call it, what you named it, determines what's going to happen in their life. You see, when the Bible talks about angels, those angels are not always up there. The Bible declares, be careful who you're dealing with on earth. Because you may be entertaining
angels
of the Lord. And so sometimes God will use you for him. He's in heaven, he's every place, but God is a spirit that you cannot see. And so sometimes, since you said, have your way with me, he'll slide in you and make you say something that sounds like him. Because what he's trying to get out of us is so that we can be more in his image. The image of God is for us to look like, sound like, walk like, think like, feel like, have a heart just as God has it. But what God wants us to understand is that we are all impotent. We're weak. When we are weak, his grace is strong. Now, you got to have some faith in order for God to deal with you. It could be weak faith, but it has to be there. So this man who is impotent, Jesus began to deal with him. And this impotent man began to talk about the water. In essence, what he says, what verse is that, somebody? Verse number seven.
The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled.
Now, listen to what he says.
To put me in the pool.
He says, I have no man to do this thing for me. So whenever the water is stirred, superstition in biblical days said that you have to be the first to get in. I'm glad that I deal with a God, and God deals with me, where he says, now the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You know, it doesn't matter what order you come to God, he just says, come as you are. But this man is waiting for someone to stir up the water. Water in the Bible represents the Spirit of God. You remember Jesus on the cross and what came out of him was water? That was the Spirit being released, the anointing, the power being released from him. And so what this man is saying is that every time I come to church, I got to wait for somebody to stir up the Spirit in the church. We need to quit that foolishness. I don't care if the preacher ain't there and the praise and worship leader ain't there and the praise and worship ministry is there. I don't care if ain't nobody there. I got a gift inside of me that I can stir up all by myself. When I look at the goodness of God and what he's done for me, I don't need somebody to hype me up, pump me up, prime me up. Baby, I can give him some praise just because he has been so good.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you.
To me.
Amen.
And the man says, I've been waiting on somebody to stir up the water. Keep reading.
But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me.
Somebody else get to it before I do. When God blesses you, you need to know nobody can get in your blessing's way.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
They can't stop you.
Thank you, Lord.
There's nothing that they can do. And you know the truth of the matter is that when you begin to feel resistance, when you know you've been praying, know you've been pressing through, the resistance validates what's on the other side. Satan is not going to allow your blessings just to walk on home. He's not always resisting. But when you find yourself going through the hardest time in life, you need to know there grace is, there grace abounds, there God is making a way, there God is moving in my favor. It is right there when the resistance is the highest that I know.
Thank you, Lord.
God is up to something in my life.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. God.
Keep reading.
Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk.
Listen to what Jesus says to him. Now, this man has been lying there, and he's been lying there for how many years?
38 years.
Now, isn't that a bad thing when you've been going through something so long? You've been going through it so long that you've given it an anniversary date. Here comes Christmas. That's when he left me. Let me go ahead and get my tears ready, because it's going to be bad. It's going to be hard. Here comes the 4th of July. That's when I caught them together. So I know it's going to be bad. Let me go ahead and get my tears together. And then you meet somebody, and somebody tell you, oh, it look bad outside. It's going to rain. You say, pain, pain, pain. Somebody said pain? You see, we reflect back to those moments in life. But I came tonight to talk to somebody who is sick of being sick, who is tired of being tired. And I ain't talking about just tired. I'm talking about tired. Tired of the checks coming back. Tired of not enough. Tired of the naysayers. Tired of barely getting by. I came to talk to somebody tonight. If you want to know, you need to know about my daddy. My daddy's sick, huh? But he looks low. My daddy that can fix all things. What you're going through tonight. If you turn it over to God, he'll work it out somewhere. Have you ever tried the Lord? And when you tried the Lord, he stepped in and he graced you. And listen, sometimes in life, sometimes in life, God doesn't release you totally from your situation. God or Jesus asked the man, will thou be made whole?
Yes.
In other words, he said, you got a choice in the matter. You got to choose me. And if you choose me, I'll choose you. And so he says, you got to choose. Will thou be made whole? I like that. Listen to what he's saying. You got to get this. He didn't ask him, do you want to be healed? He didn't ask him, do you want a prosperity blessing? Do you want a financial blessing? Do you want a new car? Do you want a new house? He says, will thou be made whole? When the Bible refers to whole, what God is saying is that I'm going to restore everything.
Everything. Hallelujah. Everything. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everything.
Thank you, Lord.
You're impotent, you're weak.
Thank you.
And then he says your infirmities. And your infirmities is sick. That's sickness that is inside of you. And so what God is saying is, I'm going to do it all over again.
Hallelujah.
Jesus tell the man, he says, will thou be made whole? And the man says, you know, nobody and all this. And then he says to him, rise. In other words, lift yourself
up. Get up.
You lift yourself up. Isn't it something when you discover what I was depending on you for, I had the power to lift my own self up. You got to be careful with your relationships with people, because sometimes people really don't want to see you free. Sometimes people want you to be enslaved to them so that they have somebody to call, somebody they can talk to on the phone, somebody who is in their shoes. Baby, if you flying with turkeys and you wonder why you can never get above your storms and sail with eagles, it's because you need to disconnect from some people who really don't like you anyway. See, haters in life stand next to you, stand behind you. Sometimes you're looking at the person down the street. You need to look a little closer. You need to look at your inner circle every now and then. And sometimes you need to clean out the inner circle and say, is everybody that is around me, are they praying for me? Sometimes you ought to watch out the corner of your eyes when you tell somebody God bless you, and you ought to see how they react. Now, if Paulette ain't dancing as much as I'm dancing because I've been sick for 38 years, I don't need to deal with Paulette. When God bless you, your friends should be jamming right along your side, because I'm next in line. If God did it for you and I've been praying for you, I'm next in line. I can go ahead and start praising him right now because I know that he'll do it now.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
So he says to the man, he says, rise. Rise, rise. Get up, get up. You get up. You don't need another man. You see, sometimes we're asking our neighbor to do what only God can do.
Amen.
He says, I don't have anybody to do it. Jesus says, I didn't have all that conversation with you. I just told you to rise up. Now you want to tell me what Pookie them say, what Ray Ray them say, what Billy Bob say, what your checkbook say, and what your fear say. Jesus is saying, I ain't got time for all that. Now what I told you was to rise up. In other words, he says, lift yourself up. If you ever walk with God, one thing you'll always discover about God, and that is he's a lifter. He'll lift you out of your sickness. He'll lift you out of your depression. He'll lift you out of your bankruptcy. He'll lift you out of whatever it is that you're going through. Have you ever tried God? You've been down and out, but God lifted you. Won't he lift you high? Won't he place your feet on solid ground? And he says to the man, he says, rise up and take up your bed and walk. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have got stuck there and wondered if 38 years really wasn't so bad if I got to carry my mess even though I'm already healed. Have God ever delivered you from something and every time you saw somebody, they always connected you with what you came out of?
Yes.
Right. Aren't you the one that had the accident in your car flipped over 5 times? Hey, that's you. Isn't it sad when people don't know your name but they know your story? They don't care about you. They just want to know what you've been through. And so your identity becomes what you've been through. Baby, what I'm going through, what I've been through, that ain't me. I'm a child of God.
Yes.
Purchased with the blood of the Lamb. I am the beginning. I am a healer. I am what God said I am. I'm not my situation. Don't you get this thing confused. Just because my money ain't flowing right now, that ain't me, baby. Just because cancer's in my body, that ain't me, baby. I'm still a child of God. I'm still able to rise up above my situation. And so here's this man. This is crazy. Jesus tells him, he says, pick up your bed and walk. And so here he is, 38 years. Jesus come, mess up his anniversary day. 39 years, he can't tell nobody about it no more. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes we find glory in telling people how long we've been in something.
All right, that's it.
You know, I was in that thing for 5 years. You know, I was in that thing for 17 years. You know, I was in that thing for 38 long years. And we put the anniversary to it. And when God comes through and God is trying to bless us, we won't be made whole because we want to hold on to our anniversary date. And so every time somebody asks you about something, you have to go back. You ever talk to a Christian and they begin to tell you how good God was, and then they begin to tell you about their struggles, and they spend 5 hours talking about their struggles and 5 seconds, but the Lord will deliver you. I don't want to hear about that. Tell me what God will do right now. You spend all that time, your testimony is the tough times in life, and that's all you say. That ain't you. That ain't you. Your testimony. testimony is the delivering power of God. It doesn't make a difference how long you've been in something. What makes a difference is how much of Christ stood in you when you were going through something. You know, when God's anointed you and you're going through something and people can't even tell that you're going through something, ain't it something that when God will put a hedge of protection around you, you going through something and it should have killed somebody else and you act like you're not even affected? That's the power of God. That's the anointing of God. Well, you're so crazy, you keep walking and you keep smiling and they wonder when you're going to die. Baby, I ain't going to die. I ain't going to never die. I got too much on my agenda to die. I got too much on my plan to die. I got too many blessings coming to die. I may die someday, but I ain't ready to die today. And even if that's what you say, you better believe I'm going to the wall. Because if I go to the wall, I know I can get at least 15 more years. Take up your bed.
Yes, God.
And walk. And so here he comes.
Mm-hmm.
He's healed.
Yes.
Made whole.
Yes.
But he's carrying his bed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right now.
Sometimes God will allow something that you've been through to stay connected to you.
Mm-hmm.
That is so that every time somebody see you, that they'll understand that nobody but God delivered you. Because for 38 years, you just sit there. So I know you couldn't do it. So tell me what happened to you. See, sometimes people will look at your life and they'll think that they'll know you or think that they know you just because of what they see. See, sometimes people can see what you're riding in today and where you're living in today, but they don't know your story. They don't know how many times you've been bankrupt. They don't know how many times you stayed up all night. They don't know how many times cancer came in your body. All they know is what they see. Baby, don't be fooled by what you see. You don't know what it takes to keep what you see.
Right.
See, you look at something and you think somebody is blessed and you think that they didn't work for them blessings. I don't mean work in short and forth for God to give it to them, but up to my every time God bless you, Satan comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. So every blessing that you see in the house of God, you better know that somebody is working just to keep it. They are all night praying. Why are you doing a little cute prayer? Somebody really pressing into God. I wish I could talk about 20 people tonight who Satan came against you and tried to take everything from you. But you prayed and prayed and you pushed and pushed and God still made a way out of no way. I wish I could talk to about 30 people in here tonight that know that God is a battle line. I wish I could talk to somebody tonight that know that God will be a bridge over troubled water. I wish I could talk to somebody tonight. You almost went down, but God is a lifter. Won't he lift you up? Won't he raise you above your situation? Won't he raise you above your storm? I need to talk to somebody tonight who you've been through something, and it's been a long time. You set the anniversary date on it. Know exactly how long you was in the mess. But look at God delivering you in spite of, and look at you carrying what you used to be. But it don't bother you no more. You may know what I'm attached to, baby, but you need to know the God that I serve. Ain't God able to do all things but pray? I know my English is incorrect. Excuse me. But ain't he able? Ain't he able? Won't he make a way? Won't he open a door? Won't he, won't he, won't he? Have you ever tried the Lord? The bill pass through. But it's not past his blessings. So he steps in and he blesses you anyway.
Yes.
He just keep on blessing you.
Hallelujah.
He just keeps on blessing you.
Hallelujah.
You look at the man and Jesus is saying, but I'm standing right next to him. Don't ask my neighbor.
Hallelujah.
You need something? Don't ask your neighbor. Jesus says, cast all your care upon me. For I care.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
About you.
Thank you, Lord God.
I care about you.
Thank you, Lord God.
I care about you.
Thank you, Lord God.
I care about you.
Hallelujah.
I care about you.
Thank you, Lord God.
I care about you.
Hallelujah.
I care about you. I care about you. I feel what you feel. I know what you're going through. And you think that you're all alone, but I'm right there, baby. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And you think folk walking out of your life? No, baby, I'm just reveling. I'm getting ready to move somebody in your life, and somebody gonna come in your life, and they're gonna sit with you, and they're gonna pray with you, and they're gonna push you through, and they're gonna be a friend, and they're gonna call upon the name of the Lord with you, and you're able to cast your cares upon the Lord. And you gotta know that God says, I'm right here.
Hallelujah, God.
I need you just to abide. You know when you begin to abide in God.
Thank you, Lord God.
You're not concerned about the time.
Thank you, Lord God.
See, that's why God sometimes has to place some stuff on us.
Thank you, Lord God.
Where we stop being concerned about what time it is. I don't care if it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Jacob said, I won't let go until you bless me. I wish somebody here tonight was saying to God, I won't let go until you bless me. I got a need, God. I got a need, God, that only you can meet. But thank God, we serve a need-meeting God. Thank God that he can step in. Thank God he can supply all of your needs. Thank God. Thank God.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord God.
Just lift your hands tonight in the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Just surrender to him.
Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord.
Just surrender to him.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, God.
I need to talk to some folk tonight.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
I need to talk to some folk tonight that's going through something.
Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, God.
Thank you,
Lord God.
I need to talk to some folk tonight.
Hallelujah.
Who don't mind tearing.
Hallelujah.
In the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I need to talk to some folk tonight.
Hallelujah.
Who understand that while the Spirit of God is resting in this place, there's no sweeter place to be right now. I need to talk to some folk tonight.
Thank you, Lord God.
That walked in that door. Not only with a need on their heart, but they also came with expectation. I need to talk to somebody tonight that says, God, I'm not going to let go. That God, I'm expecting something from you. God, I'm declaring something tonight. And I'm decreeing something tonight. I'm declaring, Lord, that you will never break your word. I'm decreeing tonight, Lord, that I know I can stand on your promise, Lord. I need to talk to some folk tonight that is serious about God. Somebody that came tonight to surrender.
Thank you, God.
And Jesus is saying, just connect with me.
Oh God, thank you, Lord God. Thank you.
If you abide in me,
oh God, thank you, Lord God.
I'll abide in
you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God.
Just
thank you, God.
Just understand the presence of a feast. This whole passage of scripture tonight started with a feast. The only thing that is needed to have a feast is some food, some bread. Jesus, tonight is your bread. The feast is here. The feast is here. I can hear Jesus say, come sit at the king's table tonight. Come and sit at the king's table.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God.
Anointing is at the king's table.
Thank you, Lord God.
The word, the bread is already
there.
Come sit at the king's table. And because God invited you, bring all your troubles. And cast all your cares upon him. Father God, I pray unto you tonight.
Thank you, Lord God.
A sweet release.
Oh God, I thank you, Lord God.
A sweet release in this place. Father God, somebody came in tonight. They were tied up.
Oh God, I thank you, God.
Tangled up.
Oh God, thank you, Lord God.
Twisted up in something.
Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Father God, we thank you, Lord.
Oh God, thank you, Lord.
For making our crooked places. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing, Lord, that you're releasing in this place tonight. God is saying to somebody, if you'll reach right now, he'll put it in your hand. Just reach right now, he'll put it in your hand. You may look crazy reaching, but reach right now, he'll put it in your hand. Let God make a deposit in you right now. Just reach right now. It's going to require some stretching. But just reach. Father God, we plead the blood of the Lamb.
Oh God, thank you, Lord.
We pray right now, Lord, that you'll watch over our children, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Wherever they may be tonight, Lord. Father God, we ask, Lord, that that hedge of protection that comes upon these children, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
That no devil in hell, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
Can touch them, Lord.
Thank you, God.
As they travel up and down the dangerous highway.
Thank you, Lord.
As they are out of our sight.
You
still see them, Lord. Father God, we pray tonight, Lord, for relationships, Lord. You said in your word, in the latter day, Satan will come. And he would come to destroy the family.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God.
Father God, we pray tonight, Lord, for the families. We pray tonight, Lord, that every family, Lord, that is in your faith, Lord.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord God.
Make that knot stronger, Lord. Plant it, Lord. Plait it, braid it, twist it. Let them hand to hand, chest to chest, breast to breast.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Tie them up, Lord.
Yes, God. Yes.
Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
For what you're gonna do.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
As we leave this place tonight.
Oh God, thank you, Lord God.
Just like this man, Lord, that was just caught up for 38
thank you,
years.
Thank you, God.
You said to him,
you,
take
God.
Up your bed and walk.
Thank you, Lord God.
Everything that we've been through in life, Lord, that's the bed that we lay in.
Thank you, Lord God.
It's okay if somebody see what we've been through.
Thank you, God.
So long as they know the God that brought us out. Thank you for being my deliverer. Thank you for being a deliverer, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Only you, God.
That even when Satan came,
only you, God, hallelujah. Only you, God, hallelujah.
No weapon that is formed against us.
Only you, God, hallelujah.
Lord, God, in every tongue, Lord, come against us, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
Father God, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For allowing us to touch and agree in the Spirit.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us just to tarry a while.
Oh, thank you, Lord God.
In your prayer.
Oh, thank you, God.
We ask right now, Lord.
Oh, God. Thank you, Lord God.
That we
thank
be
you, Lord
whole.
God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
Father God, we pray right now, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
That person that is here tonight, perhaps they'll know Christ as that personal Savior. We ask right now, Lord, that you'll touch their heart, Lord. That they will come crying to you, saying, what must I do to be saved? For that person, Lord, that know you, Lord, we pray that our fellowship in the Word, Lord, has been encouraging to them. You said in your Word, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to the only wise God,
Savior.
And we say to you, thank you, Lord.
In the name of
Jesus. Come on and give the Lord a hand.